The following is a rebroadcast of a digital free thought radio hour that originally aired on 6th of September 2017.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Girl, love the mass, I watch the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed, I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I love my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age. Things I thought were true. Someday I'd break the big taboo. I'm letting go of God. Letting go of God.
And welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I turned on the microphone. Fine, that's a good move. This is WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM, right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We are a live atheist call-in radio show. We do have a television show, and I'll tell you a little bit about that later. This is a show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you think that you're the only non-believer here in Knoxville, well, you're just mistaken. There are several atheist and rationalist groups that exist right here in Knox Patch, and we'll tell you how you can connect with them later on in the show. And we have on the phone with us, as usual, Wombat. Welcome to the show, Wombat.
Wombat says hello. What's up, everybody?
Turn on his mic, too. That helps. I guess they're all saying we're doing this fine. I don't know. But did you know that we have a call-in television show, an atheist call-in television show broadcasting here in Knoxville? Wombat, did you know that?
Well, I mean, that depends. I always seem to get this wrong. Are you talking about the show with, like, the two guys that, like, talk to, like, basically a camera, right?
Yes.
That's going on, right?
Yeah.
And then there's, like, another little kid running around, and then the other guy got, like, fired from the show because he thought he had tiger's blood or something like that.
No,
I don't know.
It was
a really, really big controversial thing.
No,
I didn't like the laugh track. I'm just not a fan of shows with laugh tracks in general, but overall, I think
you're,
it's 7
you're
out of 10.
Still on the wrong show. I don't know. You just can't seem to get the right show.
I'm pretty sure I'm right on this, but I'll let you have your opinion. Go on ahead.
Okay. It's called Free Thought Forum TV show, and it's on every Tuesday from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Well, when they aren't preempted with government shows, this is Community Access Television on Comcast Channel 12. So watch Comcast Channel 12 every Tuesday, 5 o'clock, and if you can't catch it on cable, just watch it online. Go to make that ctvknox.org, and you'll be able to pick up that show. If you want to listen to our show, the radio show, and you can't get it off the air, then go to WOZOradio.com, and you'll be able to pick it up there. And if you haven't heard Steve Martin's song, singing about how atheists got no songs, well, you just don't know how wrong he is. There are an awful lot of atheist songs, and you'll be hearing him on this program and generally on this station as we have put them in rotation. Today's topic is one that we need to revisit every once in a while. People call in or they hear the show and they hear us talk about atheism and agnosticism, and they don't really know what the words mean. They think they do, but we want to touch on that a little bit.
Oh, I'm raising my hand. I know exactly what this means. Listen, I've been setting this up. Atheism means you hate God and you're angry and you just can't deal with the fact that God loves us. And you're going to hell if you don't believe in him. End of the show, guys. Let's roll that. Where's the end music? That's perfect.
Well,
right?
It depends on which God you're talking about. Because if you go to the wrong church or the wrong sect of the right church, you're going to go to hell anyway, right?
Doubter five. There's only one God, obviously.
Well, people have, people worship 10,000 gods all over the world. I can't help it. If you picked one and you claiming that's your God, that's fine. But if you look at it from an atheist standpoint, they all have conflicting claims. They all say that their God's the only God. They all have a holy book they point to and say it's the word of God. What are we supposed to do? I mean, here we are.
Well,
we don't believe in any of them. But, and
well,
we...
Tell me what,
go ahead.
Let's get into it then. What's the atheist point of view? I don't think, help me out.
Atheism is the answer to one question. If somebody asks you if you believe in gods or God, and you, if you don't believe in a God, you say, no, I don't. You know, that's it. That's all atheist is. Atheism is a lack of belief in a God. Now, if you answer anything but yes to that question, we consider you an atheist. Because if you have a belief in God, then you're a theist, and you're not an atheist. I mean, it's as simple as that. Now, a lot of people will say, but atheists believe this, and atheists believe that. No, anything after that question is up for grabs. I mean, Buddhists can be considered a... Go ahead.
You're saying if I believe in a God, I'm a theist, and if I don't believe in a God, I'm an atheist?
Yes.
Does that count for, like, all gods, even, like, false gods? Like, well, say I didn't believe in Thor or Zeus. Does that make me also an atheist to those gods?
To those gods, yeah. The thing about it is, if let's say that you mentioned false gods. So let's say you're a Christian, and let's say for the argument, sake of argument, that I don't say that I'm an atheist. I say I'm a Hindu, and I don't believe in your God. I would be an atheist in respect to your God. But at the same time, and mostly speaking, I would be considered a theist because I have a God belief. See what I mean? And what's kind of interesting? Go ahead.
I have a radical. Yeah, I think that is a lot interesting. It could mean that a Christian is basically an atheist to literally every other proposed God except for their own God.
And an atheist.
Uh-huh. That was the basically point. The same thing, except for just one extra God. They're an atheist, just one extra God.
And that's even closer to the truth than you would think, because the very first recorded use of the word atheist was pointed at Christians in the Roman Empire, because they did not believe in the Roman gods, so they were considered atheists.
Whoa, that's scary and true.
Yeah. But a lot of people also have
the term, I know it's a little bit off topic, but pagan, which was also developed by Holy Roman Empire, which just basically meant a country bumpkin folk, or someone who wasn't brought into the fold of Christianity at the time.
Well, it could mean that, but they have their own religion. They have their own gods. It is a religion. May have, you know, to the Romans, I'm sure they thought that there was a rural god or a rural religion, not really a sophisticated one. But at the same time, it's one of the oldest religions, and they had practices going back thousands of years. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they used to practice paganism back when they created Stonehenge, which was, 5,000 years ago, something like that?
Absolutely.
So if
you were to go back to, like, just, like, the root of the word, what it meant, it basically meant not one of us, or basically not a Christian. And it actually encapsulated a large number of different belief systems. Mm-hmm. They're all around the Roman Empire, typically within 1100. This is like around the time of like Henry II. This is like time where Catholicism isn't exactly what we know it as today, but it's very much the single most powerful known religion in all of what would be France and England at the time.
Yeah.
And so you have a lot of different tribes of people, tribalism, a lot of different warring factions against each other. And as a result, you have essentially a different groups of people who believe different kinds of things, believe in different kinds of gods. And Romans just needed one word to basically make an enemy out of a whole bunch of different groups of people. And they came up with pagan. And in the same way, there's a lot of different kinds of atheists or a lot of different kinds of people who may not believe in the God of a particular major religion. And so they just call them disbelievers or atheists. But really, there's a lot of different kinds of atheists.
Yeah.
Maybe we can talk about that.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say a little earlier. There are actually whole religions that are atheist. You know, you would think that would be an oxymoron, but Buddhism doesn't believe that Buddha was a god. They don't believe in a heaven or a hell. Taoism is more of a way of philosophy, a way of looking at the world and training your, yourself to become more in tune to it. There's Shintoism, which is more of a ancestor worship of Japan. Several other religions, but I mean, you don't have to have a god for a religion. You can have a philosophical outlook or ancestor worship. But specifically, theism and atheism split on the question of a god. Now, you talk to a lot of religious people, Christians, Islamists, Hindus, and they'll say that atheism is an indefensible position because you'd have to know everything in the world. I mean, everything in the universe, you'd have to be able to go everywhere and search everywhere to be able to say there is no god out there. But no, what they're saying is you have to go there to know that there's no god out there. And that's where Gnosticism comes in. Gnosticism's root word is Gnostic, and that means knowledge. If you're an agnostic, you say that you don't have knowledge of a god. If you're a Gnostic, you say you do have knowledge of a god or a lack of god. In other words, there are Gnostic atheists who claim that they know that there is no god, but then again, you're using the word know and not the word believe. Whenever you use the word belief, you're talking about atheism or theism. But when you use the word know, you're talking about Gnosticism or agnosticism. Personally, I'm an agnostic atheist. I mean, I don't know for sure. There's no kind of God out there somewhere in the universe. Maybe in the 16th galaxy over, there's a God of a world over there that actually exists and rules the world. I don't know. But that's agnosticism. I don't claim to know. Now, do I believe it? No, I don't believe it. And that makes me an atheist because we're talking belief now.
So we're talking about different kinds of atheists, or when I say different kinds, I really just mean a person who doesn't believe in God plus other things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, basically different flavors of atheism. And you said you're an agnostic atheist. Could you explain what that means just one more time, just so I can wrap my head around it?
I can put it in a sentence. I don't know that there's any gods out there. That makes me an agnostic. But I don't believe in any, and that makes me an atheist.
Well, here's my question. Uh-huh. If you don't know if any gods exist, how can you justify not believing in it? Like,
okay.
Why did you choose a side? Why not just believe in it?
Well, to me, everybody who comes to me with a God claim also has a real description about their God. Like he's omniscient, or he's omnipresent, or he's omnibenevolent, or he wrote the Bible, or he wrote the Quran, or something. And these claims don't hold water. If you read any in the Bible, you would see that it's a man-made book. It's got rage and racism and slavery and just all kinds of things in there that conflict with the claim of omnibenevolence and omnipowerful. I mean, what kind of book would first claim that the God is all-powerful, but then say he couldn't beat an army who had iron chariots? It doesn't make any sense. And that's where you get into problems. You get outlandish, incredible claims like walking on water, returning from the dead, raising people from the dead, bringing fire from the sky, things like that, with absolutely no evidence more than old stories in a book. And every nation and every people on earth have creation stories. This is just the Christian creation story, or the Jewish creation story, or the Islamists, because they pretty much all worship the same God using the same books.
I have a different approach to this question. If someone asks me, why did I choose to be an agnostic atheist instead of an agnostic theist?
Uh-huh.
And like I said, at the top of the show, you said a theist is someone who believes, an atheist is someone who does not believe.
Right.
And the thing about belief is you can't choose to believe something.
Mm-hmm.
You can't control. I can't choose to believe that I'm not African-American. I'm a black guy. I'm a black dude.
Yeah.
And I can't choose to believe I'm white. I'm just convinced otherwise by the evidence.
And I can't choose to believe I'm 22 person. Years old again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as a result, I'm only taking up positions that I'm justified in having, because I find that's the most reasonable way to go about my life, and to have an existence that comports with reality as much as possible.
Yeah.
So when someone says, hey, why am I not an agnostic theist? Well, that would require me to be convinced of a theist claim.
Right.
And at that point, I haven't heard one that I found convincing.
Mm-hmm.
So until that point, until I have a rational basis to believe in a theist claim, I have no other choice than to withhold belief. It's not really a choice even when you think about it. I'm just not convinced of it.
Right.
And
it's a conclusion. If you haven't reached that conclusion, then you're not a believer. When you
right.
reach a different conclusion, you believe that way. I have come to the conclusion that the claims of Christianity and Islam and Hinduism and all those claims have not met their burden of proof. Therefore, I don't buy into those beliefs.
And I have an alternative point of view. I don't mm-hmm. need to find problems with a particular religion to not believe in it.
Yeah.
I have it such that a religion needs to come to me with a reasonable claim that they can support with evidence for me to believe it. And
right.
until they do that, that's when I'll believe it. I don't need to find a problem with every religion that comes up to me on the table.
Right.
I need one religion to come up to me mm-hmm. with some good evidence.
Okay,
and when that
well,
happens, I'll gladly switch my position.
Sure. Well, what do you say
but
to those?
Then,
go ahead.
Oh, but until then, I stuck with the most rational position, which is I don't know and I don't believe in it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And until then, my best position is agnostic atheist.
Right. But there's a lot of people out there. And by the way, if you're listening to the show and like to get in on the conversation, we have a phone line that's open, 865-333-5937, 333-5937 in Knoxville. Wombat, what do you say to those people who hear you talk like that and say, you better believe or you go to hell? You know, it's a simple bet. You just need to believe. You know, if you're wrong, nothing happens to you. But if you don't believe and you're right, I mean, if you're wrong, then you go to hell. What do you say to those people?
It's a really compelling bet because in most cases, I'd be better off if I hedged my bets and went towards the side that would guarantee me, life in heaven and paradise. But ultimately, I'd rather believe in a God that values someone who tries to believe in as many true things as possible than rather one that hedges his bets and tries to get through the system, even if he lacks belief. Ultimately, we live in a world where we can choose to try to believe in true things, or we can try to appease a certain God from a certain holy book. And I find that if we did the former, and we try to believe in true things and act on those kinds of beliefs, we'd be better off as a society than one where we pick a particular God and say, hey, whatever this God wants me to do, I'll do it, regardless of the consequences,
yeah.
because I'm not about this life. I'm about
yeah.
the life after this.
Well, the thing about it is that God never shows up to tell you what he wants. It's just preachers who point at a book and tell you what he wants. And the book itself is a multiple choice. You can pick whatever you want out of it. It's a smorgasbord of things that if the preacher wants to come down on homosexuality, there it is. If they want to come down on slavery, there it is. If they want to come down on adultery, they can pick that up too. If they want to just have a kumbaya religion, a church that loves everybody, that's all there. It's more a reflection of the person who's doing the choosing, the preacher himself, than it is the book that it comes from, because all of these stances are represented in the book. What kills me is how some people read that book and then consistently come out hating their neighbor, telling them to stone people, cut off their hands or their heads, and make war rather than the message of the New Testament, which is, you know, turn the other cheek, be a good neighbor, take care of your neighbor. See that a lot.
True. If anyone's interested, there's a book on Amazon called The One-Page Holy Book. It's a one-page book on Amazon.com. That's basically a religious text. It's one page, and it only says two words. It says God exists. And it's made by a guy who's basically showing it's obviously a parody book, but it's really interesting in the context of the evidence that supports that one-page holy book is more or less on par with the evidence from a lot of other holy books
yeah.
with regard to demonstrating that their particular God exists.
Yeah, but
it's
then
the claim without the supporting evidence to back it up.
Yeah.
And you can hide that with a lot of stories. You can hide that with a lot of, you know, parables, even some things that might actually be factual, as in, like, hey, you know, sometimes it rains, or, like, prophecies that explain things like great mysteries such as your kids will be argumentative in their teenage years, things you would have never expect to happen, or wars will be fought against nations. oh man, amazing prophecies. Never right. anything explicit, but yeah. you know, things that we can misconstrue as true.
Well, even
but
those two words represent unsubstantiated claims, and then you, that's just a starting point for to schism any kind of religion you want to off of it.
Absolutely, but the thing is, the parables that are there, the truth statements that don't relate to God whatsoever, but just add more credibility to the books, and the more or less multiple retellings of the same story by supposed different authors, mm-hmm. all go towards enhancing a narrative that doesn't exist as evidence to support the overall claim that God exists.
Yeah.
And as a result, that one-page holy book that just says God exists in plain mm-hmm. courier font text versus a giant, huge holy book such as the Torah, the Quran, or the Bible, both have the same footing. And as an atheist, what atheists are looking for the most part, is just evidence to compel us to believe that that is true. And we don't find the evidence such as repeated stories, parables, or truth statements regarding, like, hey, there are slaves in the past, we don't have to be slaves in the future. We don't find that compelling to demonstrate that a God exists. That seems like it's a completely different order of magnitude of evidence that's required
right.
to demonstrate that as an existing thing.
Yeah. No, who was it said incredible claims require incredible evidence? And
sure.
God is like the most incredible evidence, I mean, claim. No, it's funny that you mentioned...
I can't think of anything more incredible.
It's funny that you mentioned a short religious book. How many people out there know that, what was it, Thomas Jefferson took the New Testament, well, took the entire Bible and threw out the Old Testament, took the New Testament, threw out all the miracles, and only took the words of Jesus and created a Jefferson Bible, which you can still go online today and get off of Amazon or booksellers or wherever you want to. The Jefferson Bible. I don't know if it's out of print, but it's certainly, if you can find it, it would probably be free, and you can download it and read it, listen to it, whatever. But it's interesting.
Man, if you want to talk about interesting historical figures,
yeah.
you might want to check out Henry VIII. Listen, I've been up to my neck in Game of Thrones stuff. I can't get my fix. I've been going into, like, old school medieval stories to find out what these stories are based off of.
Uh-huh.
There's a figure named Henry VIII. Really, really interesting character in history. Shakespeare wrote some stuff on him. But as a compelling figure, as a nobleman of England, he's really important to not only just the history of English, but really the history of Christianity, because at the time, literally every single person who was a Christian was a Catholic. Christianity as we know it today, with the many different sects such as Baptists, Protestants, Lutherans, Episcopalian, etc., that would not have occurred until Henry VIII realized that he needed to marry another wife, basically divorce, annul the marriage of his first wife, and then marry another lady so that he can have an heir. It didn't work out well for either of them, trust me. It didn't work out well
yeah.
for the next six
mm-hmm.
ladies he married yeah. either. But he basically split the Church of England away from the Holy Roman Empire and basically made his own church. And as a result, the following schisms in that religion resulted in the Protestant movement, the Lutheran movement, Quakers, Baptists, all of the religions that we take for granted as existing for eons and eons since the beginning of time are really the result of one guy saying, you know what, I don't really like this lady anymore. She's not putting out with the babies. I need some babies. Is my religion going to let me do this? No? Okay, I'm going to start my own. And
yeah.
as a result,
yeah.
here we are. The history of Christianity and why a lot of people are Christian today is a really interesting one. And as much as Thomas Jefferson can manipulate the Bible into any way he wants, there's been people who've been putting their fingers into what we hold as true and beliefs since the beginning of time. And it's just since the beginning of written law or written history. And it's just a really interesting thing. And more reasons why I find it really hard to be convinced when someone comes to me with a God claim, believing that this is true since the beginning of time, but doesn't know, like, basic history up to, like, the last, you know, four centuries ago.
Yeah.
Basic history. It's kind of complicated. It actually goes back way far. I'm still learning about it right now, but it's just a really interesting history of why
yeah.
people are religious.
Yeah. Speaking of kings,
yeah.
Speaking of kings, a lot of people don't realize that King James actually wrote another book. He didn't just have the Bible. I mean, he had the first book, of course, we know as the King James Bible, but it was really somebody else's work that he just had translated. But he wrote his own book, and you'll never guess what it was. Or do you?
What? No, tell me.
Demonology.
What?
Yeah, that's the name of the book. King James's Demonology. So basically, he put out two books on demonology.
I need to look this up so bad.
No, it's available. Just go on Amazon or wherever and look up King James Demonology. You can download it and buy it today if you want to.
We were talking
about atheists, and you mentioned a little earlier about why they were so angry. There is a lady out there who wrote a column on that particular subject. Her name was Greta Christina, and if you go online, you can find her original article called "50 Reasons Why Atheists Are Angry and Why They Have Every Right to Be So." It's talking about our marginalization, the fact that people pray instead of sending their kids to doctors, the misogyny of religion. Just one thing after another that we have been putting up with for, at least 100 years, probably more like 200. Why it would make us mad, and my question is, why doesn't it make you, the believer, mad?
Sure.
I mean, you think about priests that are raping children.
It's really, really terrible.
Keeping people from using condoms in AIDS ravaged Northern Africa, one thing after another. There's plenty of reasons why religion would make a person angry. Go ahead.
And I've got a slightly different take. Maybe I can get through this before we go on break. But I'm thinking, I never really had the sense of camaraderie with other atheists when I was, still religious myself. I came from a Christian background, and maybe I can talk about that more.
Me too.
But for the most part, when I swapped, my frustration came more from me coming to a realization that I didn't have a good reason to believe the things that I believed in, and facing a wall of, I don't even, close-mindedness, really, or like just contempt, really, and really more or less fear that I couldn't be honest with an opinion because I feared, losing my family, losing my friends, losing, my community. And as a result, I just had like this boiling frustration of just, man, I wish I could tell someone, I wish I could expose how I feel about this, because I generally don't think I'm doing something wrong. I just really wish I could get a valid answer. And even my, even people that I would come to who did have a religious background couldn't like help me out in a productive manner. And so it was a pretty frustrating event. And I can see why. Also, if someone was, if we have institutionalized Christianity for the most part, like in America at least, we have this aversion to people who don't believe. I know this as someone who's come from the faith. There's believers and there's Christians, or there's people who are Christian and there's people who are not. And you're either with them or you aren't. Like, it's very much a mentality of, we are the good people, we're here to shed light on the world, everybody else is not us. So we need to either help them or worry about how we can please our God. But we can't be mindful of everyone else. And I didn't want to be on the opposite side of that. So, I mean, I can definitely see why people would think atheists are angry by default. Because they have a similar background where they're ostracized, or fear of being ostracized.
Yeah, well, it's not only that. It's the harm that religion does in the world. And they watch it, helplessly watch it every day in the news, on TV, the wars that brings up, the ostracization of other groups, honor killings that are going on, just one thing after another that is brought about by nothing other than religious belief. And then when somebody brings up religion to them and asks them why they don't believe, it kind of sets us off. But anyway, it's probably not best to go there right now. I mean, I could go there. I've got a whole article I wrote. By the way, my blog is digitalfreethought.com. And if you go there and click on the blog, it will take you to all of my articles. And one of the ones that we could go into later on if you want to is, what's so wrong with religion? I hear that all the time. You know, why are you guys so against religion? What's wrong with religion? Well, there's, I probably wrote 2,000 words on it. Go there and check it out if you like. It's getting down to the bottom of the hour, so I guess I better go on break. We will play a song and have a little break, and we'll be back in about 4 or 5 minutes. This is WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM live right here in Knoxville. We have Daughter 5 and the Wombat. Hi, Wombat.
The Wombat!
The Wombat! And this song is Why Don't Bees Go to Heaven? And we'll be back in about 5. See you then.
It seems to me the species Homo sapiens carries the chutzpah gene. To think they are the purpose of the universe when they only just arrived on the scene. What's even worse, they bear a curse of believing they're the only form of life to never die and go on living somewhere high up in the sky.
Somewhere high up in the sky.
So why don't bees go to heaven and trees go to heaven? Amoeba, krill and fleas go to heaven. It's not surprising that they're not arising, 'cause man created God.
This grain of sand upon an infinite beach had been supporting life for trillions of spins. Then along came humans who started assuming that this was where it begins.
So profoundly naive, they began to perceive these primates were the only ones to never die and go on living somewhere high up in the sky.
Somewhere high up in the sky.
So why don't worms go to heaven and germs go to heaven? Spiders, snakes and sperms go to heaven. It's quite expected that they're not resurrected, 'cause man created God.
If man created Zeus
and the god of the sun,
if man created Shiva
and the god of Abraham,
from all of life, why should the only one saved be the species worst behaved? Well, that's because that same species, Homo sapiens, carries the chutzpah gene. To think they are the purpose of the universe when they only just arrived on the scene.
What's even worse, they bear a curse of believing they're the only form of life to never die and go on living somewhere high up in the sky.
Somewhere high up in the sky.
So why don't whales go to heaven, snails go to heaven, orangutans and quail go to heaven? They don't think twice about paradise, because man created God. So why don't bees go to heaven, and trees go to heaven, amoeba, krill and fleas go to heaven? It's not surprising that they're not arising, 'cause man created God. So why don't worms go to heaven, and germs go to heaven? Spiders, snakes and sperms go to heaven. It's quite expected that they're not resurrected, 'cause man created God. So why don't bees go to heaven, and trees go to heaven, amoeba, krill and fleas go to heaven?
You're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
And welcome back to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Doubter 5, or Larry Rhodes, and we have Wombat on the line. Say hi, Wombat. We're back for another half hour of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour, WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. It's a live show. First, I need to tell you about the groups that are here in Knoxville, the Free Thought groups. We have the Atheist Society of Knoxville, founded in 2002. November marks our 15th year. ASK now has over 700 members and you can find them online at KnoxvilleAtheists.org. Or you can go directly to one of their meetups, go up to meetup.com and look for Knoxville Atheists. It's just that simple. Also, you can join us in person at our weekly meetup, which happens every Tuesday evening at West Hills Taps and Flats. Flats and Taps at Kingston Pike near Westtown Mall, where we get together for food, drink, and conversation. Everybody is welcome as long as you don't come to preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Thank you, Matt Delahunty. Another large free-thinking group here in Knoxville is the Rationalists of East Tennessee. They've been around for over 20 years. RET has biweekly presentations and discussions held at the Pellissippi State Campus near Hardin Valley Road. They meet the first and third Sundays at Goins Administration Building, Cafeteria Annex. And if that's too much to remember, just go to rationalist.org and click on upcoming events. Or just go on campus and follow the signs on the first and third Sunday mornings about 10 o'clock or 10:30. Then there's the Secular Student Alliance, which has programs that give camaraderie and community to any free-thinking high school or college student who would like to be involved in the free thought movement, or would just like to find our other free thinkers to hang with. Everybody likes free, like-minded friends. And then, what? Yes, you can come to the Atheist Society of Knoxville. It's held at Flats and Taps, which is also a restaurant. It's a bar restaurant. They do allow children. We have whole families come down and join us for our happy hour meetup at Tuesdays at 5:36, and we usually go to about 8 or so. And that's every week. That's every Tuesday at Flats and Taps. So be there or be square. Now, there's earlier in the show we talked about the Atheist Call-In TV show. It's called Free Thought Forum, and you can see it every Tuesday between 5 and 6, or most Tuesdays anyway, on Comcast Channel 12 or Charter Channel 192. If you don't have cable, you can watch it streaming online at ctvknox.org. You can also find archives of some of the shows on YouTube, where a fan has been recording and posting them there. Just search for three words, Free Thought Forum Knoxville, and you'll find like 7 years worth of backlog or archives. Also, if you're interested in getting involved with the TV show or this radio show, just come to any Ask meetup or RET meeting and ask to talk to us about it. You could be our next co-host or guest. And that's it for announcements. Wombat, you wanted to talk about agnosticism or Gnostic atheism? You're saying something like that. Okay.
So basically, I'm just going over the definitions. And basically, yeah, when we got to agnostic atheists, a lot of people like to say agnostic as if it was a middle ground between atheist and a believer. But really, agnostic is just a response to a different question, is which whether or not you know there's a God.
Right.
And most people don't know. But just because you don't know doesn't mean you can't be an atheist. You can also be an atheist or someone who doesn't know that a God doesn't exist and is also withholding belief until they do know. And that's an agnostic atheist. So there's a lot of different kinds of There's a lot of different kinds of what you call varying. There's a spectrum of atheism. There are people who are very, very, very sure in their atheism, and some people who are more like a weak atheist, like, hey, you know, maybe a God exists, maybe he doesn't, but until they've demonstrated their existence, I withhold belief. And then there are also those who are 100% assured that God is not existing or will absolutely not believe in that God. But really, at a nutshell, that's just atheism plus something else. For the most part, if you don't believe in a God, you're an atheist. And you can take that to anywhere you want. So I was talking to you on the break, Butterfly, about atheists that claim that there's no God. What do you think about that kind of atheism?
Well, I don't think we can have certainty on that. When you're talking generically, I don't think that, you know, you can say the deist God, per se. I can't believe that anybody would say there's no such thing as a God, maybe who created the universe and then died in the explosion or lost interest in the universe or went away or just forgot about us or whatever.
Or that because the proof for that is that's the same as
right. There's no,
a non-existent God.
You cannot falsify it. It's a non-falsifiable
right.
position. So
right.
it would behoove us not to be Gnostic atheists in that situation. However, when you're talking about specifics gods who have a contradictory powers, let's say, then you can pretty and outrageous claims that cannot be verified, and you ask them to prove it, and they just just have faith. You know, in other words, skirting their burden of proof. Then I think you're justified in saying, well, I'm an agnostic atheist because I don't believe in that God. But at the same time, maybe I will go Gnostic atheist on that particular God. And here's one thing. Let's say that you've got a God who knows everything. He's omniscient, which is like the Christian God or something. But if he knows everything, then he knows what you're going to do and what you're going to say and every action that you're going to make for the rest of your life. He knows where you're going to go. You're going to, you know, go to hell or whatever. And there is no free will. You cannot change what you're going to do. He knows it all. But what makes it even worse is that he has no free will, because if he knows everything, he knows everything he's going to do for the rest of eternity. Everything he's going to say, every decision he's going to make, every person he's going to, doom, let's say. And he has no free will. Now, if you ask any theist out there, a Christian or a Jew or Islam or Hindu or whatever, you know, they would say, well, of course gods have free wills. But then, you know, they make a claim that says he doesn't. So they're contradictory. So you say, well, I don't believe in that, right on the face, because they're contradictory claims. They're just on and on and on, whether you believe in these things. And until they decide to bring some evidence that to prove that their God is what they say he is, I withhold judgment and say I don't believe.
There's an interesting aspect that we can take.
Uh-huh.
There are some people who, for example, worship the sun or worship maybe, mm-hmm. you know, a rock that's on a hill
or
somewhere.
A totem pole.
and they'll call that a God,
uh-huh.
and they have demonstrative evidence that that God exists.
Yeah.
Yet I could still be atheist to that claim. Whether or not that's an actual valid God claim. I could be mm-hmm. atheist, but I cannot
yeah.
believe them
yeah.
when they say it. And the justification for that, on my part, is that they are making a claim. They're basically applying a label of God to something
uh-huh.
that doesn't need it,
right.
or isn't added, or is what we call suffice by having it. Because I can apply that label to basically anything.
Mm-hmm.
So the term here is, or what we would call this an apologetic term is necessary and sufficient. A claim needs to be, or a definition label, a label needs to be necessary and sufficient for it to be valid to an extent for me to believe it. If you call the sun a god, you can call any star in the sky a god. What does calling the sun itself a god add to the sun?
Yeah.
If you
or
took
the conversation.
Away that label,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
And if you took away that label, is the sun any less as a result? And do we need to have God and the sun or a son be the same thing, or can they exist separately from each other? Can they suffice without each other? Are they necessary and are they sufficient to be the same thing? And for the most part, I can't see that, so
yeah.
I'm not convinced that it's true.
Yeah, I don't accept that claim. It's as simple as that.
Mm. I used to do this experiment where I'd held a pair of sunglasses in my hand, and I'd say, I can call this a god. Do you have a problem with that? And people would get really, really, really angry.
Yeah.
And I loved it, because only in the sense of, you know, we should understand that, you know, just because I call something a god doesn't make it a god. And if I use the label loosely, I'm demonstrating that it doesn't really have power to call something a god. I can really do it with anything. And that's the point. Like, I can point to a salt shaker and say, hey, that's a god. We can worship that now.
Mm-hmm.
And most people can say, well, you just added a label to something that didn't need it before you called it a god in the first place. A rock was still
right.
there before we called it a rock.
Right.
The sun was still
mm-hmm.
there before we called it a god.
Uh-huh.
There's things that we can call gods that don't necessarily need to be called gods. And we can have these ambiguous figures that are called gods that were ambiguous ideas or concepts maybe even before we came to the realization that we can call it a god and start a religion off
yeah.
of it.
Right.
What we do need is a reason why we should believe in the claims that religious or theist-minded individuals bring to us. Mm-hmm. And until they do that, we don't have a reason to be convinced.
Yeah, and one of the problems
with whole belief.
Yeah, one of the problems is these claims generally include miracles. I mean, what's a religion without the miracles? It's a philosophy.
Oh, what do you mean by a miracle?
Oh, the walking on the water, the raising of the dead, the tumbling of mountains and, you know, moving them, things like that. And
so you're talking about, like, supernatural events?
Yes.
Not just really rare events.
No.
I passed my test yesterday. I can't believe and I barely even study. That's a miracle.
Yeah, or I had a baby girl. My nephew had a baby girl yesterday. That's a miracle. No, it's not. It's a natural event. But even yeah, 300 years ago, David Hume was born, and he was a Scottish philosopher, historian, and economist, and essayist, and he was one of the most important figures in Western philosophy in the Scottish Enlightenment, and he had this to say about miracles. There are three things he says. The laws of nature are immutable, and miracles will be exceptions to those laws. That's one. People have been known to lie for gain or to promote a personal agenda, so personal testimony is often mistakenly or intentionally wrong. So that's two things. Laws of nature are immutable, and people have been known to lie for gain or personal reasons. Now, for the first two reasons, he says, for those reasons, to accept a miracle claim, you have to believe that it is more likely that the laws of nature were actually broken than that the person describing the miracle was mistaken, deceived, or lying. And which
right.
is more likely? I mean, this is 300 years ago.
Right.
This is not news. This is something that anybody could read over the last several hundred years and come to their own conclusions about it. But, I mean, it makes a very strong point.
It really does. It also brings up the point of a different kind of atheism that people are trying to coin. It's called New Atheism. Have you heard about it?
Yeah.
All the kids find it really, really fascinating. It's the latest fad where kids these days are realizing that their parents, their religious ways are just not cool anymore. They're going to rebel and try to not seek God and try this new thing called New Atheism. It's the latest thing on the street.
And you know how long you know how long it's been around? Just about as long as the internet's been around, the new atheism. It's just a sharing of information where they can't keep you in a bubble anymore. You can actually get online and read about other theories and other religions. But anyway, you had a point you were going to make. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
So my point is, that's not even new atheism. That's just old atheism plus tablets.
Mm-hmm.
So the arguments of atheism has always been the same of just, well, I don't believe you. Can you prove it?
Uh-huh.
Like that is, or I don't believe you. Literally, please, like I don't believe you. Like, or that's BS. Or hey, I you're going to need to prove that somehow or demonstrate it some way. It's basically just skepticism in a nutshell. Like in the beginning of the time when humans had their first cognizant thoughts in their heads,
mm-hmm.
there were basically people who didn't believe in whatever, you know, God was being sold to them. And then someone was convinced, and then they started spreading the idea. But by default, we were, for the most part, non-believers. When we're born, we're in the same state. We aren't born Christian. We're born to families that are Christian, maybe.
Right.
And they will indoctrinate us in a certain way. Exactly.
That's
why Muslims tend to be born in one certain place and Christians tend to be born in another place. And as a result, we are inherently born with an atheist mindset, and it's not a new thing. It's been literally since the beginning of the human form that we've always had this kind of mindset. The only reason why it's being called new atheism is because a religious mindset is trying to be installed in people, mm-hmm. where we've defeated the old atheism, and they've had to cower and figure out some new form of tactic, and now they call it new atheism, and now they're going to come to us and our religious minds, but we'll beat them down again. When in reality, it's always been the same kind of skepticism that has been left unanswered for literally thousands of years.
Yeah, in case the listener doesn't believe us, the actual charge against Socrates was atheism. That's why he was made to drink hemlock and kill himself. One of the founders,
Socrates,
an ancient philosopher, Greek philosopher. Now, coming a little forward in time, quite a bit forward, one of the founding fathers of America, Thomas Paine, wrote The Age of Reason, which he was a deist. He was not a Christian, and he took the Bible, he took umbrage with the Bible, saying, the God of the universe, the God of this grandeur that we see all around us, is not the petty God of the Christian belief. He wasn't confined to, like, the Middle East, and he would not have given us these petty commandments to live by. The Age of Reason was written about Christianity and why you should not believe Christianity. Of course, it got him into a lot of trouble at the time. And then 100 years later, or less than 100 years later, Robert G. Ingersoll, he was a former colonel in the Union militia during the Civil War. After the war, he went around. He was known as the great agnostic. He was one of the many orators who could hold thousands of people spellbound before the age of electronics, if you can imagine that. And one time he spoke to like 50,000 people inside an auditorium, and they spilled out on the street. But he talked about atheism. He talked about the problems with the Bible. He wrote a speech actually called I can't remember it. It was about the Pentateuch in the Bible and why it was terrible. I'll try to look it up here in a second. But that was Robert G. Ingersoll. And a lot of people don't know that Mark Twain was a non-believer. And he wrote several things about that.
A lot of people don't realize that a lot of the founding fathers that we had weren't trying to be, I guess, what would you call it, soldiers of Christianity when they started the country that we know today as America. They were really just trying to escape what was a stronghold on the church, or basically on the state of England, and get out of that situation and basically try to start a more or less a strongly, basically a society that's built on secular principles. Uh-huh. Where one of the presiding forefronts of freedom is the right to be religious, but not necessarily the religion of the state.
Yeah.
And they wanted to enhance the separation of church and state. They wanted to make sure that there was no direct endorsement of any God in any of our constitutions. And it was only out of great effort from a very religious, sect or angle as we developed as a country, that we have this infusion of religion in our state of politics as we have it today.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the intention of what our forefathers were in a big set.
Yeah.
So more examples of, atheists.
Yeah. I found out the name of that work by Robert G. Ingersoll. It was called Some Mistakes of Moses. And it was about the Pentateuch. Well written document. Like I say, it was a speech that he gave many, many times. Let's see. Trying to think what else we were going to get into. Agnosticism, atheism, we covered all that. Was there anything else? We're getting close to the top of the hour here. We've got about 5 minutes left.
So just in a nutshell, hey, if you answer the question, do you believe in a God, with anything other than a yes?
Mm-hmm.
And that includes, I'm more of like a spiritual kind of person. I don't really know. I don't feel like it. Yeah. Like, hey, it's okay to say you're an atheist. For the most part, atheism feels like a bad word only because of many, many hundreds, thousands of years of indoctrination from religious folks trying to make you feel bad if you didn't believe what they believe. And for the most part, in this country specifically, if you're hearing this on the radio in America, you have the right to exercise religion however you want or exclude yourself from it.
Right.
And it's totally fine to say, hey, you don't believe in God if that's how you truly feel. And it's okay if that makes you an atheist, because to be perfectly honest with you, there's nothing wrong with atheism. It's just position as an answer to a single question.
Right.
So go ahead and feel comfortable.
There are no shoulds in atheism. There are no doctrines in atheism. If you want the answer, atheism is one answer to one question. Anything after that is something else. It could be humanism. It could be rationalism or naturalism. It depends on, the philosophy of the person who's answering the question about God. No, what else he believes. If you go to an atheist meetup, you're going to get people of all walks of life and all different kinds of beliefs. Remember, there are some spiritual atheists out there, like Buddhists, and who believe that reincarnation is real, that, you know, that you have multiple lives. But they answer that God question with no, and that technically makes them atheists.
Sure.
What else?
I don't know. That sounds pretty good to me. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, yeah. If you want to contact us, you can write the show at doubter5@digitalfreethought.com. What was the other one? Is it just
digital? We also have digitalfreethought.com@gmail.com.
Or digitalfreethought@gmail.com. That'll do it. Either one of us will, any one of those will get it to us. And if you want to read any of my writings about what we did on the show, go to digitalfreethought.com and click on the blog poster button. Well, we're getting down. We're pretty close to the top. So you got any final words?
Sure. Again, reiterating the words from last week, be happy to question everything you know. And if you're lucky, you might just change your mind on some things.
Very true. And remember that atheism doesn't have any doctrines, doesn't tell you what to do, doesn't tell you how to live. It's one question about whether or not the person you're talking to believes in deities or not. If they just say no, then remember that's the only thing they've told you is what they believe in, not what they should do, what they want to do with their lives, what their purpose is. Generally, atheists feel that they have every right to create their own purpose in life. And I personally can't think of anything more important to do than decide what you want to do with your life. That's one and only life that we have. Also, most atheists, and I say this with a grain of salt, keeping the Buddhists in mind, and don't believe in an afterlife at all. And it's funny that most Americans don't have any problem at all considering that every single living thing on the planet dies and that's it. But they just have to make an exception for the human, right? We don't die. We don't leave the party. We keep going. Yeah, right. Anyway, the thing about it is everybody is going to some other religion's hell. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it until they prove that souls and hells and heavens all exist, and nobody has done that in the thousands of years that religions have been around. Don't sweat it. This is Doubter 5, and this is Wombat. Say bye, Wombat.
Bye, Wombat.
And we'll see you next week at 7 o'clock on this same station. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Listening to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.